welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Jamal Jeevanji. He is a life coach and author, and he is a founder of Free to Love Coaching Solutions. And he's also a podcast host. Welcome to the show, Jamal.
Ajay, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure a lot of people, not just in India, but across the globe, will benefit from what we are discussing now. Now we are on video. Later on, it will also go on audio as well as blogs. So a lot of people will get to understand about the thing that we are going to talk about, how to not suffer alone. We'll get words of empowerment from you. So first, to understand from you, Jamal, you talk a lot about human suffering, you know, pain and suffering. Help us understand why these areas which are people avoid in their life, you talk about them.
Yes. Well, I'm convinced, and we can talk, you know, we'll obviously unpack this a little more. My perspective is that I'm convinced that we are not actually here to suffer, that suffering is something that is possible to eradicate completely from our life. I draw a distinction between pain and suffering. I don't think they're the same thing. So I always say that pain is a part of life. Pain is inevitable. It's something that comes with life. Suffering is inherently different. They're not the same thing. So, you know, pain cannot be avoided. Pain is a part of life. There's ways to respond to pain for sure. But if we can understand the difference between pain and suffering, then we can learn to avoid suffering completely.
Right. And that is what we want to understand, the difference between pain and suffering. Because sometimes, you know, when you feel the pain or suffering, whatever it is, it hurts. And when it hurts, it sometimes feels all the
same. Yes.
It is almost the same sort of a response that individuals. But if we know it, we might be able to deal with it differently.
Absolutely. So my understanding of pain, so I've heard it put this way, that pain is an event. Suffering is the story or the mental narrative that we tell about the event. So for example, I can use something very simple. Most of us have stubbed our toe. Let's say you're walking across the floor, you bang your foot into something, and the pain is excruciating, especially if you do it at night, right? The middle of the night, you're walking across the floor, you stub your toe. For probably about 30 to 60 seconds, life stops. Because the pain is so intense. You can't think about anything. Everything goes away. Your focus, all of your energy and focus goes on to the foot and what it feels like. And that's intense pain. And this is just a very simple example, but I think it communicates the point. That's what pain is. Now, pain, after about 30 to 60 seconds, it begins to get less. It subsides. It doesn't last. It's kind of like a wave in the ocean. It comes up, it gets big, and then it crests and it goes away. So pain is very temporary, and it's just a physiological, it's an event. It's like a kind of a shock to the system. Now, that's pain. Now, suffering is something quite different. So let's use the same example. Let's say I walk across the floor, I stub my foot. It's obviously very painful, and I'm dealing with that pain. 30 seconds, 60 seconds goes, the pain wears off, and then the mental chatter starts to begin. Who left this in the middle of the floor? I can't believe I live with, you know, selfish people. They don't pick up after themselves. This is the story of my life. I can't even walk across the floor correctly. I'm always getting hurt. This is always happening to me, you know? And so it's this constant narrative, right? Of what happened and why it happened. This actually causes tremendous amount of suffering. This is a very simple example, but the narrative doesn't go away. This narrative can go on and on and on. Now, stubbing your toe is one thing, but let's say you're in a business deal and somebody treats you wrongly, right? So that can be a painful event, but the narrative will continue long after that event. You go through a divorce, painful event, but what's the narrative that continues? And if we don't learn to see the narrative, this literally can color our entire life. If that makes sense.
Right, Jamal. So for pain, we know if we get hurt, we either can treat it ourselves or we go to a doctor if it's much more severe.
Sure.
What about suffering? Which doctor do you go to? And you see, in different cultures, the definition of suffering is different. And it is like in some parts of the world, many parts of the world, it says that it is all because of your past, sins. So you got to bear them. So in your understanding of suffering, who should a person go to alleviate their suffering and find liberation from all this? How does that work?
Well, ultimately, I say that whoever you go to, they should point you inward. They should begin to help you see inward, whoever that is. Because until you see the narrative, you cannot be free. Because it's not actually the event that's causing the suffering. It's the narrative. For example, let's say something, you get into an accident, something unfortunate happens. And let's say you come from a culture that teaches, okay, this is your... I think this is a misunderstanding of karma, my personal belief, but maybe the understanding of karma is this is your past life, this is your past sins coming back. That's a narrative. That is actually a narrative that is going to cause suffering, because then there's no escape. There's nothing you can do. You're just trapped into this life and you're paying for the sins of, a past life kind of thing. And this keeps people stuck. But there's other ways people do it. There must, people look at a situation and they say, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Something I did, has caused this. And, I like to tell people sometimes, be careful the questions you ask, because, bad questions lead to bad answers. So we want to ask good questions. If you ask better questions, you get better answers. So instead of asking, what did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? I like to ask the question, how is this for me? What is this trying to show me or to teach me? How is this here to liberate me, this situation? And it can be really challenging to ask that question when you're going through something difficult, but that allows you to see the narrative. But if we can see that there's a narrative, most of the time when I'm experiencing something negative, the reason it feels negative is not because of the event. It's because of the story I'm telling. And that story comes from somewhere. And it does come from our past. Typically, it comes from the way it's a similar event than something we experienced in the past that causes a lot of suffering. So this new event that's happening seems similar. So now I'm reliving a past moment. Now, we don't understand this consciously. Our conscious mind is not aware of this. But the energy from that past event is still in the body. And it's coming up. So if we can take a moment to just feel what we're feeling and understand that what I'm feeling is not about the event. It's actually a trigger of a past event. We can start to see the narrative a little bit more clearly, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense. In terms of then, how does it work? How does one get started? Pain, we understand you can heal there. But how do you get started with this suffering in your understanding?
Well, one of the things it can be really helpful to do is when you're experiencing an event and it causes a tremendous amount of suffering, to take a moment. I like to take a moment to say, okay, if I'm feeling a strong emotion, it's I always say you never want to make a decision in that moment. Obviously, if you react in that moment, you're going to perpetuate the problem. So first thing a person can do is to say, okay, I need some time to feel this. So the first thing is you want to feel it. I have a friend that always says, what you feel, you heal. What you don't feel, you can't heal. So it's okay to take a moment to say, I'm going to take some time to feel what I'm feeling. So if the emotion is anger, let's say I'm feeling very angry. So okay, I'm going to allow myself to feel angry. Now, most people, we don't think of anger as something that's in our control, but it can be in your control. So when you get angry, when anybody gets angry, we just become angry and we become unconscious. But what I've learned to do is to say, okay, I'm feeling angry right now. So I'm going to take the next 30 minutes and I'm going to feel angry for 30 minutes. And I actually set a time limit. 30 minutes, I'm going to feel angry and I'm going to consciously. Now that's different. So if you take that time and you consciously feel anger, in those 30 minutes, I will actually pinpoint it in my body. I'll say, okay, where in my body? If you pay enough attention, you'll realize that anger or any emotion has an actual place in the body. Sometimes it's in your chest. Sometimes it's in your stomach, your head. And I'll actually say, where do I feel the tension? Shoulders. And I'll locate it. I kind of put my hand here. I'll feel it. Take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Just, and I'll just feel it without judgment. And then I ask a question. I like to ask this question and say, have I felt this before? Is this similar? Have I felt this same emotion in my past? The answer is 100% of the time. Yes. Oh, I have felt this before. And then I say, when have I felt this before? I just ask myself, when did I feel this before? And always what this does is it starts to bring you back to a past event that happened that I need to process. And see, we're not always aware of what we need to process. So what happens is life, I call it grace, life gives us events to trigger us. Why? Because it wants to free us of this energy that's from the past that we have not processed. Because if you can begin to feel that pain from the past, what it does is it actually releases it. This is the path towards liberation. To get free from your past cycles of suffering, you literally have to move into it to feel it located in the body. And then when I start to identify, I have felt this similar pain in my past, I start to get clear about when it is. Then I just breathe through it and feel it, and it leaves. So in order for something to come out of the body, it has to come up. So life will give us triggers to trigger that energy to come up. So that we can, and you know, it's kind of like if you eat bad food, right? If you eat bad food, the body knows we have to get it out. So it has to bring it up. It's not pleasant. But the same thing with energy. If we have bad energy in the body, stuck in the body or the mind, it has to come up. And it's allowing it to come up, sitting with it, not judging it, not getting into the narrative, but just, okay, locating it. So by locating it in your body, say, you know, where is it? It's in my chest. Okay. Have I felt this before? One of the things you're not doing is you're not in the narrative, right? The narrative is this always happens to me. These people, you know, there's no good people in the world. You know, that person is bad. That my boss is, you know, so it, whenever we're in doing that, we're blaming or we're forming judgments. We're in a narrative that's perpetuating our suffering. But when you can locate the pain and feel it, and then ask when I have felt this in the past, you're not in the narrative. You're actually not judging it. You're just allowing it to come up, to come out. And then what happens is as you clear this energy over time, you realize that life is just a series of events. It actually is not painful, or it doesn't cause suffering. It's just a series of events. Now I'm able to see them as just events. It's not personal. It doesn't mean anything. It just means there's an event. Some are pleasant, some are unpleasant, and I can respond to them. And that's a major difference than resisting life because of the suffering that these events are triggering, if that makes sense.
Indeed. So how does it look to be free? What does it mean to be free then? How do I know that I'm free of these sufferings or pain? We can still, as you said, mm-hmm. talk about it. But what yes. about suffering?
Well, One of the signs that we're getting free from suffering is that stress becomes a non-factor. So, for example, I like to look at stress. Stress is a great indicator of what's happening on the inside of me, because stress is not outside of you. You can't see stress down the street, right? Stress is something that you experience, just like all of life. You experience it internally. So what is stress? Stress is simply resistance. It's like pushing against something that doesn't move. So when I'm trying to change something that cannot be changed, I'm always going to feel stress. Most people are trying to change life. They're trying to change their life. They're trying to change the way the world works. It doesn't work. And they feel stress because it's resistance. So when you start to clear these narratives that have caused suffering, one of the byproducts of that is that I stop fighting or resisting life. And life is experienced in this moment. So whatever I'm doing in this moment, if I'm having a conversation, if I'm doing a job, a work, whatever I'm doing, if I am not resisting it, if I am in full cooperation with the moment, the way it is. Even if it's something I don't, it's not pleasant. It could even be unpleasant. If I am fully involved with all my attention, all of my presence without resistance, there's no suffering and there's no stress. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You're fully involved. But, you know, most people are at war with life and they're resisting life. And then therefore stress is very high. And now we need to escape stress and that causes other problems. So to answer your question, you know, how do we know if we're not suffering? Well, stress is a non-existent factor.
Right, right. You have written a book, Living for Living. What does this living for living mean? And when we are talking of suffering, what have you dealt in this book? Can people find answers? What answers can they find in this book?
Well, thank you for asking about the book. You know, Living for Living comes from it originated from a frustration actually of mine. And so to give you a little bit of background, you know, I grew up in a family that, was affected on both my mother and my father's side from lots of poverty, generational struggle, poverty. My father originally is from India, is from Gujarat. But he grew up in East Africa. A lot of Indians settled there. But there was a lot of struggle in that part of the world. And he grew up with that. My mother's from the United States. She grew up in Ohio, but a lot of generational kind of poverty. So some of the messages I heard as a child was, it's all about getting a good job, making money, you know, so you can take care of yourself, pay your bills, take care of your family. This is natural, right? This is most of the world is. But something deep inside didn't sit well with me, that message, because I thought for myself, is that it? Is that why we're here? Just to make some money, pay some bills? Is there nothing more than this? And people would always say, what do you want to do for a living when you grow up? But I watched my parents. And I appreciate my parents, my mother and my father. They worked very hard. They struggled. But when I watched them, they were very unhappy. Specifically, I remember my mother, she worked a job. She hated her job. Sometimes she would actually be sick to her stomach in the morning. She did this for 30 years. Because she was taught, this is what you have to do. But I looked at that and I thought, is that living? It's survival. And I started to see that there's a major difference between surviving and living. So when people would ask the question, what do you want to do for a living? I said, well, what they're really asking, they didn't say this, but what they're really asking is, what do you do for money? Okay. And I started to see that what you do for money is not necessarily what you do for a living. But if somehow these two could come together, if we could bring this focus of what if I could live for a living? What if my living, what I'm here to do with my life, would also bring in income and bring in, you know, support? And I started to realize that the most successful people were people who had alignment with their sense of purpose, with who they are. They knew who they were. They knew their purpose and their passions and the things they were excited about. And they learned to use that to leverage their life for service to themselves and to the world around them. And those folks tended to be the most abundant people, abundant in love, abundant in stress-free living, abundant financially. Now, again, it's not about how much money you have or don't have, but there's an alignment here. When you get into alignment, what I've discovered is that life will actually support you for you to do what you're here to do. And everyone is here on purpose. Everyone here has certain things that they're very passionate about. So the book is about my journey out of living for survival, because I did that for many years. I did what I was taught to do, to just live for survival. But it's a process, moving from survival to living for a living. It's not that I don't work. It's that my work now is in alignment with who I am. And it doesn't feel like work. It feels like life. So that's what the book is about, Living for a Living.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is much to discuss about pain, suffering, life, alleviation, poverty, you know, inner trouble within us. And I guess a lot of that discussion, understanding can happen only with you. This is one medium, one episode, you know. And this is just for that, a lot of people would want to come to you. They would want to listen to you on your own podcast, the Lovecast. And also for people who want to professionally engage with you? What's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yes, thank you for that. I think probably the best way that people can connect with me and my work is probably through my website. I am active on social media, but website is kind of the hub where people can come to. And my website is JamalJavanji.com. So just my first name, last name.com, JamalJavanji.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And about your podcast, what is this podcast about, the Lovecast? And even you are the founder of Free to Love Coaching, so that people know what you exactly do and what this Lovecast podcast is all about.
Yes, so I do have a podcast called the Lovecast with Jamal podcast. And the purpose of my podcast is really to be just another vehicle, another medium, so we can have these kinds of conversations. I have folks, you know, I do interviews on there. We just talk about subjects related to empowerment, inner well-being, spiritual well-being, and how to move closer into this on this path towards liberation. How do we move into that dimension of life? How do we begin to turn inward? So a lot of the conversations on that podcast are about that. And then also Free to Love Coaching Solutions is, you know, I'm a life coach by profession. So I work with people. Work with people one-on-one, and I help people engage in a process that will cause them to let go of their narratives, so that we can move into it. And it's through a process that I employ, and I help folks walk through a process that leads to becoming less resistant to life and becoming liberated in their own personal life, so that they can learn to live for a living. And also my book is there on the website as well. So, yeah.
Wonderful. On this note, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.